Welcome to my commentary on Paul's letter to the disciples in the province of Galatia, otherwise known as the Book of Galatians. This portion of my audio commentary on Galatians concerns Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 10. Verse 6 begins, "I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel." Something I need to say actually before I get into this verse. Normal Pauline letters, and normally was the case amongst the Christians in the early church, was they would have a greeting to the letter like we just saw in Galatians 1 through 1 to 5, and then they would have a prayer. Paul often has a short prayer for those he is writing. In the book of Galatians, he has no prayer. He gets right into the heart of what he wants to say. You will see that Paul is one upset man, and he doesn't even take time to pray for these Galatians. He gets right into it by saying, right after his greeting, he says, "I am astonished." Paul is going crazy. He shakes his head. He scratches his head. He just can't believe what is happening amongst the Galatian believers. He says, "I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting." Deserting. And I looked up the Greek word for the word deserting. It's a military word. Rebelling. It's rebelling. You're so quickly rebelling. So quickly means that after Paul preached the gospel to them, it did not take long for false teachers to come in to try to sway the new believers away from the gospel of Christ. This is an important issue to me because I believe the modern day church does a poor job at teaching. We teach all sorts of things, how to have a good sex life, how to have a good marriage, how to have a good financial situation, how to improve your job skills, and all sorts of things. But we fail to teach biblical truth, biblical issues. We should be doing this immediately after somebody gives their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul did that. But right away, false teachers were trying to squeeze in on what Paul had done. And these people were beginning to accept the teaching of the false teachers. They hadn't fully embraced it yet, but Paul is still astonished that they're beginning to even think about doing such a thing. It's just not a matter of, oh, well, maybe I'll revert to what these false teachers are saying. This is an out-and-out rebellion, Paul says. This is a desertion. As I said, it's a military word. If 100 guys go out to battle and 10 of them change their mind on the battlefront and return, they are deserters. This is what this word in the Greek implies. They are deserting, rebelling against the gospel Paul taught. And who are they deserting? Paul says they're deserting the one, where is it? The one who called you. Now, there's three possibilities of who Paul is speaking of when he uses the word one. Either he's speaking of himself, which I don't think he is, or he's thinking about Jesus, or he's thinking about God the Father. I believe, in reality, these Galatians are deserting all three, but who they are deserting most in this context is God the Father. Because only God the Father, through the Holy Spirit, calls a person to salvation. Paul doesn't call a person to salvation. He preaches the gospel. The Holy Spirit does the calling. If this was Jesus, the one referring to Jesus, you'd have to read the verse this way. It makes no sense when you do. "I am astonished that you are deserting Jesus, who called you by the grace of Jesus Christ. That doesn't make any sense. They are deserting God, who called these people by the grace of the Lord Jesus. Grace of the Lord Jesus, meaning his sacrifice in the incarnation and his death on the cross and his life here on this planet. These people were deserting God the Father, and this would be pretty bold statement on Paul's part, because what these people were deserting to, they would claim would be the God of the Old Testament, Yahweh, and the law of Moses. So when Paul says you're deserting God, he's saying you're deserting the Yahweh that you claim to be reverting back to. They want to leave Christ and go back to Yahweh. And in Paul's thinking, it's astonishing, because Jesus Christ is the Son of Yahweh. Jesus Christ and Yahweh are one. There's no logic to deserting the gospel of Christ, Paul says. So they're deserting Jesus and turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all, it says in verse 7. The word different here in the Greek is not different, something different like an apple and an orange are different. It's something altogether different, like an apple and a car. It's just the opposite. The word different here means just the opposite. What these Galatians were doing, they were forsaking faith in Lord Jesus, reverting back to obedience to the law of Moses. We will learn more about that later. And Paul says that's no gospel. And he's absolutely right. It is no gospel. There are 613 laws in the law of Moses. I'll tell you just one. One says that on the Sabbath day you can't pick up sticks. Actually, a man in the Old Testament was killed for that. You can read my written commentary on Galatians to see where that's found. But there was a man killed for picking up sticks on the Sabbath. And Paul's basically astonished, because he doesn't view that as being good news. He doesn't view himself as going back and submitting and obeying a law that is impossible to obey as being good news. If you were given the choice between working for a week and being paid and not working for a week and being paid, which of those two alternatives would you consider good news? Well, of course, you would consider not working and being paid good news. That's what the gospel is all about, and that's what the Galatians were beginning to leave. So in verse 7, Paul says, which is really no good news at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion. And when people are thrown into confusion, they will accept pretty much anything. That's why good fundamental teaching from day one is important, because if you don't get the good fundamental teaching, sooner or later, when somebody comes along with a different teaching, that will cause confusion in your head, and you will have the choice. And it's too easy to choose the false teaching. People were confusing the Galatians with false teaching. Paul goes on to say, and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. Pervert is a strong word. The Greek word literally means to destroy. They were trying to destroy the gospel of Christ that Paul taught, that the Christian believers embraced. When you destroy the gospel of Christ, you have no gospel. You have no hope of salvation. And these false teachers were doing that by saying, now these false teachers, as we will see later, they believed in the cross of Christ. They believed in getting saved by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, but they taught to continue being saved, you had to obey the law of Moses. That was blasphemy to Paul. That was another gospel. That was totally perverting and destroying the gospel of grace that says you rely on Jesus alone to get you saved. You rely on Jesus alone to keep you saved. And there is no more place for submission to the law of Moses. That's Paul's gospel, and the false teachers were trying to destroy that. And in the process, they would destroy the salvation of these Galatian disciples. Verse 8, but even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preached to you, let him be eternally condemned. Paul was saying, even if I change my mind and join the false teachers and I preach their gospel, may the angels of God eternally condemn me in hell fire forever. You can see how upset Paul is. He strongly believes anybody who does not teach the real gospel deserves to go to the lake of fire forever. Because that tells Jesus what he did on the cross isn't good enough. We need to add some rules. We need to complement what Jesus did by adding rules, even if the rules are the 613 rules of the law of Moses, which was given to Israel by God in the first place. If God says my laws are no longer acceptable to find salvation, certainly man-made rules, evangelical rules and laws, is not acceptable either. So Paul says, condemn the person who teaches any other gospel than the true gospel. And Paul says, condemn me if I do that. Again, we see how serious Paul is in this letter. Verse 9, as we have already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you have accepted, let him be eternally condemned. It's basically verse 9 is a repeat of verse 8. Just in case the Galatians didn't catch him the first time, he's saying it again. False teachers deserve hell fire. This section ends in verse 10. Am I now trying to win the approval of men or of God? That's the question. Am I trying to win God's approval or man's approval? You can tell by what Paul is saying. He's definitely not trying to win man's approval. And in context, man's approval, you will see, is the approval of the early church's leadership. Men like Peter, John, and James from Jerusalem. Paul was not trying to win their approval, because in the early days, even those men, those real men of God in Jerusalem, struggled over the issue of obedience to the law of Moses. And we will see more about that later. Paul specifically says, I'm trying to win God's approval. No man's, not even Peter's, not even James, not even John's. If I were still trying to please men, the word still means in the past he did try to please men. And the Pharisaical lifestyle that Paul lived in was all about pleasing men. It was similar to the ecclesiastical structures that we have in church today. You climb the ladder of success in the Judeo leadership. You start at the bottom rung and you work your way up, just like we do in church today. You graduate from Bible college, you start out as an assistant pastor, as a youth pastor someplace in a small church. You graduate to an assistant pastor in a slightly larger church. You graduate to senior pastor in a small church. Then you graduate to youth pastor in a larger church. Then you graduate to assistant pastor in a bit larger church. And then you graduate to senior pastor in an even larger church. You work your way up the ladder. And it has everything to do with pleasing men, both in Paul's day and today. Men and women candidate for jobs, for a career as being pastor in a church, and they go and preach a sermon. They've got to please the people they're preaching to, or else they will not get the job. Who are we trying to please? Paul refused to please men. He refused to please even Christian leadership. He would serve them, but he would not please them. And there is a major difference between serving and pleasing. The way Paul pleased God was to obey him and to serve man. But serving man is different than pleasing man. Paul goes on to say, if I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. So there you go. If somebody is climbing the ladder of success today, in today's ecclesiastical circles, and they're trying to please those they are under in order to get to the next rung of the ladder, you can know for sure that they are not serving Christ. How many pastors, church leaders today are serving Christ, or are they serving, I should say, how many of these people are pleasing Christ or pleasing those in authority over them? If they're pleasing those in authority over them, they aren't pleasing Christ. You can find more to this section of Galatians on my website, stevesweetman.com.